The Snark Factor with Fingers Malloy, featuring Sarah Smith and the Snark Factor players. Now, here's Fingers.
We still don't have a Speaker of the House. I don't know when we're going to have a Speaker of the House. And this is quite a time to not have a Speaker of the House. Good morning, it's the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Thanks for tuning in to Wham Talk Radio. Sarah Smith is womaning the news desk, as she always does. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Fingers.
You know, we do our best on the show to try to make light of news of the day. I don't know if you've heard, the name of the show is The Snark Factor. But it's really hard to find humor and to make fun of the news when we all saw what happened in Israel earlier this week. And, you know, there's so many directions in which we could direct this conversation, Sarah, between. I think that it's been well documented just how awful this attack was and how barbaric it was and how brutal it was when Hamas crossed over from Gaza into Israel and, you know, attacked this music festival where young people were having fun and dancing. And the chilling images that some people shared on at the time, you know, live streaming of the paragliders coming over the show and people thinking that it was part of the show. And it turns out it's Hamas coming to kill them. The graphic images that Hamas had was live streaming for the world to see, the videos that were shared. Been well documented. I don't know how much you want to get into it.
Well, I mean, as the resident Jew,
yes,
on the Snark Factor, I do have something funny to say about it, because that is what my job is a Jew, is to make jokes. And the funny thing is, for the listening audience here, these people that have been calling you a Nazi for the last however many years and accusing you of being a Nazi, they have been taking to the streets all week to support the eradication of Jews. So there's your joke, guys. These people, they're not protesting for peace, and they're not protesting for, you know, any sort of resolution to a conflict. They are protesting for the eradication of Israel and her people. And you're the Nazi. So just don't forget that. Don't forget to laugh at them in their faces when you see them. Laugh at what a joke they are, because they're a joke. And that's what I have to say about it.
To be able to rationalize, excuse this kind of attack. At this point, you see some of these leftists and you have to ask yourself, what can Hamas do to totally turn these people off? And to me, it's one thing, and that's to buy a Chick-fil-A franchise.
Right. If Hamas started putting up Chick-fil-A's, then they would get some protests. They would get some people fighting that, back against
that would be sure. A bridge too far.
Bridge too far. Yeah, this is I'll tell you what, this has been a very revealing week from the silence is violence crowd, from the words are violence, from the people that are. They seem to think that their like pseudo progressivism is going to, you know, spare them. Right. Like, oh, I'm against colonization and down with the imperialists and usually the oppressed and the occupied. Yo, when the decolonizers come to your door, like you're no different than the rest of us. Sorry to break it to you, progressives, the SMRT class, the smart class.
One of my favorite images that I have seen at these protests was a group of individuals holding up a sign saying "Queers for Palestine."
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm sure they'd be welcome. Hamas would welcome them with open arms.
Yes, I'm sure. No, we're on your side. Uh-huh. Mm. That's wonderful.
But think of what the people of Gaza have gone through. The people of Gaza elected Hamas to be their leadership in 2006. The people of Gaza chose to have Hamas run their country. That is what they are reaping. We have passed the reaping period. We are in the sow period for them.
It's interesting because I've seen a lot of people argue, well, there are, you know, there's, you know, there are Palestinians who are not Hamas supporters in living in Gaza, because we have to wonder what kind of fair elections they're really having in Gaza. I'm sure right. I'm sure they don't have poll watchers. Man, and
like, if that's where you want to live, then that's where you want to live. Like, yeah. That's right. Right.
But and what's interesting to me as someone who is not Jewish in this conversation, someone who is a casual observer of politics in the Middle East and often wondering developments in the Middle East and how they will affect American politics. A couple of things occurred to me. You know, the argument made by many is the borders are closed and there's no way for anyone to get out of the Gaza Strip. And
Except for all of the people who are given work visas by Israel so that they can come across the border and work in Israel, except for those people. Those people can come.
But if I pose the question to you, Sarah, what would happen if Israel just opened up the border? Like, say, crossing over from Gaza Israel would be like crossing from Ohio into Michigan. Just drive on over.
Right,
you're going to go from Toledo up to Detroit to get yourself a couple of Coney dogs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you think would happen?
I know what would happen. You would see what happened on October 7th over and over and over every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be complete chaos. You would have an actual ground war, like an old school guerrilla style ground war on Israeli land between the IDF and the terrorists. People who are living there who maybe don't support Hamas will just, you know, hide in their bunkers and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Which is basically what they're doing now. Except they don't have any food, water, or power. Oh, what? Oh, Israel cut off water. God, they give them free clean water. Hamas uses the water pipes and the sewage pipes to make rockets that they have now fired into Israel. That's why they don't have any water. Like, I can't, the whataboutism that is happening about this has been blowing my mind this week, guys. Everybody who was like, oh, that's just whataboutism. Oh, why do you have to whataboutism all the time? All they're saying this week is, well, what about the Palestinians in Gaza? Sorry. Sorry. That's it. Sorry. That's all I can say. I wouldn't wish it upon, you know, any peaceful civilian or citizen of any country. But
no, there are plenty of Palestinians in Gaza who I'm sure are appalled at what happened. But you see what the footage on the streets.
Yep.
And it's celebratory. You can't sit back and say to yourself, if you are trying to be an objective observer, looking at an area that is led by a terrorist organization and their one goal is to destroy their neighbor.
Mm-hmm. That's it. The goal.
And think to yourself, well, I mean, there's got to be some sort of negotiation.
Yeah, right. No, there must be something we can do to work this out. No, nothing. There's nothing we can do to work this out. And you're seeing all these videos of like kids in the Gaza Strip who are literally just talking about like, no, we need to kill all the Jews, just straight up, like, because that's how they're educated. Look, I don't know. I don't speak any Middle Eastern language of any kind. Mm-hmm. All I can do is trust the translations, the closed captions, if you will. Yeah. But even I have a hard time. Like, I have a hard time still believing that that's true. You know, like, how do I know they're not just saying, oh, my favorite color is blue. And I love, like, I don't know. And I have a really hard time, but it's hard not to believe it, because this is, you're talking about a country where like 70% of the marriages are between first countries generationally. You're talking about a group of like, this is, these are not smart people that want to eliminate an entire race, their neighbors, religion, people, ethnicity. And everyone wants to play what about? And I just, it's astounding. It's astounding. The ignorance about the Middle East. Well, it's occupied land. It's an open air prison.
Well, what's interesting about this is, why isn't Egypt opening its border?
Egypt put up an extra wall. Did you see that? Egypt put up a third barrier. They're not messing with this. Why should they?
You would think if Arab nations were really concerned about plight of the Palestinian people, they would welcome them with open arms. There would be humanitarian ships that were moving people off the Gaza Strip. And, you know, what we're expected to do here in the United States, they would welcome these people with open arms. And you don't see that happening because, unfortunately for the Palestinians, they are a useful prop for other Arab governments.
Right.
To distract people from the problems of their own nation.
Sure.
So I don't know what there's so many troubling things that have come out of this whole thing. And I got
one more thing to complain about. Can I complain about one more thing?
Sure.
Oh, man. Okay. These changing your avatar people and putting up the, for every single social issue that has come across our path in the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, everybody I know is a music festival person. Everyone I know from my entire life, this is what they do. They go to concerts. They go to music festivals. Some dude shoots up a concert in Las Vegas from a hotel window, and they're all freaking out about how they're not going to be able to go to shows anymore. Somebody, you know, they've all got their Black Lives Matter banners, which if you want to, we can get into, but that's a whole nother thing right there, what they did this week. Nothing, not a word. Is it because they don't know what happened? I can't possibly believe that they don't know what happened. How are you in the music scene and not know that a music festival just got infiltrated by terrorists and hundreds of innocent people got slaughtered? How do you, they can't not know. Nothing. Nothing. Crickets.
Yeah.
These people are frauds. They're frauds and phonies. They don't actually operate on any sort of set of values. They only react to things they're told to react to, how they're told to react. And then they call you the conspiracy theorist and they call you brainwashed. And they you're believing some right wing propaganda thing. You believe Israeli propaganda. They don't warn them before they shoot off. That's just propaganda. Nobody's warning the Palestinians before they bomb Hamas. Three different ways. They get flyers, texts, and radio and television messages. Get out of this area. They tell the terrorists where they are going to bomb in an attempt to spare civilian life. And they'll look me in the eye and tell me that's not real. That's just something you heard on Fox News. Israel doesn't do that.
It's amazing to watch.
Blows my mind.
You know, there was a whole debate online for 2 days whether babies were really decapitated.
Oh, yeah. They wanted to see video, three different angles.
And finally, the Secretary of State didn't come out and say that. I don't believe he said that there were babies that were beheaded, but in a statement, he said that it's hard to find the right words. It's beyond what anyone would ever want to imagine, much less God forbid experience. He said at a press conference in Israel, a baby, an infant riddled with bullets, soldiers beheaded, young people burned alive. I could go on, but it's simply depravity in its worst imaginable way.
And then Biden came out and said that he never thought he would see pictures of terrorists beheading children. Joe Biden, in a press conference, said that he had seen photos.
So,
and then the White House walked it back. The White House came out with a statement saying that he didn't see photos. This is, what are those called? PSYOPs? How do you pronounce that? People, I mean, we are watching one in real time. These people are attempting to rewrite history in their favor.
I don't think
it's going to fly.
Let's put this aside for a second. That babies were beheaded. Mm-hmm. As if the other stuff was acceptable.
Right. That's the line behavior. Too far. Right. Yeah. Right. 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 Like that's.
You know, they burned the babies. Well, they didn't decapitate them. That's the hill that you're willing to die on.
That's the one. It's embarrassing.
There's so many troubling things that have come out of the reaction, the protests that we've seen in cities across the country. And I should mention right now that we are recording this show on Thursday night. And so apparently there's going to be some sort of day of protest, day of rage. I don't know what they termed it, Sarah, on Friday. Hamas called for
day of resistance.
Oh, resistance.
Because this is resistance to the colonial occupiers.
Okay.
And these trust fund dunderheads in America are going to go out from their college campuses and be like, I am a part of the resistance. You're a colonizer, bro. You are a colonizer. That you think, kids are so dumb these days. And unfortunately, it's not just kids, but for the most part, what we've seen out of college campuses is appalling. It's appalling. I've actually, for our mutual friend and your co-host of the Eat, Drink, Smoke program, I've been compiling a reference list for him of all of the universities that have had pro-Palestinian marches or gatherings of whatever kind. Do you want to hear the list?
Absolutely.
Harvard, obviously, very high profile in the news. Columbia, also very high profile in the news. Stanford, George Washington University, New York University School of Law, Boston University, Yale, Northwestern, University of Arizona, Portland State University, Swarthmore, Texas Tech, CUNY, which is a New York Community University of New York, or
not to
like
be
City University of New York.
Yeah, not to be confused with CU next Tuesday.
Of course not. Don't ever mix the two up. Although I might start doing that. Indiana University, UNC Chapel Hill, George Mason, and currently the last on my list, but it's growing every moment, Princeton.
Well, I had audio I was going to play, but it was difficult to clean up to where it would be radio friendly for the audience. What I mean by radio friendly, not it didn't contain swears, Sarah, but clearly this audio was recorded on a cell phone or, you know, a camera that didn't have a really good mic. But there was a protest at the University of Washington. A pro-Palestinian protest, chants of there is only one solution. We call for revolution. And
a bit about stolen land.
And stolen land. They're occupying stolen land. Yeah. And of course,
there will be. What's the chant I keep hearing? There'll be no peace on stolen land.
Yes.
Yes.
There will be no peace on stolen land. And you made up. You made a great point on social media. You know, they also feel like we are occupying stolen land.
They sure do. They talk about it all the time.
And what was most troubling about this was there were several Jewish students at the University of Washington who were witnessing all this. And there was one student in particular, a young female, who was visibly upset and talking to, I can only guess, some sort of college administrator.
Somebody of some sort of authority in a suit with a lanyard thing. Clearly someone of authority at the university. We just don't know who.
And she's sobbing, saying, how are you allowing this? They want us killed. Repeating it over and over again. They want us killed. How are you allowing this? And of course, the first thought I had in mind was, we've seen plenty of times over the years when conservatives go to speak on a college campus, whether it's Ann Coulter or Ben Shapiro, you name the college campus speaker that conservatives, you know, are popular amongst conservative groups. And if they allow this conservative to even speak on campus, the campus will be very concerned about the messaging, and they will have counselors on hand to be able to walk through students who were triggered by the awful things that were coming out of this conservative's mouth, like, you know, we should lower taxes.
There are only two genders.
Yeah. And oh, my goodness. Meanwhile,
capitalism is good. You know, like whatever awful thing they're saying this week.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you can have these protests in front of Jewish students, and, you know, they just have to tough it out. They're on their own. You know, just you know, maybe you should go for a walk and don't wear anything that would make people think that you are Jewish.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. If you maybe some sort of face covering. So no one can tell.
These are wild times we're living in. And this has been going on for decades on college campuses, but it's gotten really a lot worse in the last decade.
Right.
And now college administrators have the difficult task of standing up to these people, because it's going to have to happen.
They're going to start. I mean, billionaire donors and funders have been dropping out of saying, I'm not giving you another dime. This is what you're teaching these kids. You've got, in response to the 31 student organizations from Harvard that released a pro Hamas statement, you have CEOs reaching out to the school demanding the names of everyone in the said student organizations because they don't want to hire them. I mean, these colleges are going to, they're in panic mode right now, panic mode. And they should be. It's about time. Again, they might have enjoyed the REAP period, but here is the sow period.
Yeah.
And people spent a lot of money on their children's educations.
Yeah, Wall Street CEO, I believe is Mark Rowan, has said he's quit all donations to the University of Pennsylvania, and he's suggesting to all of his friends that they do the same because of
same this things type. Happen at Columbia. I can't remember the name of the guy though.
Yeah, Columbia, Harvard. This is happening all over the country, and this is the only way colleges are going to do something about it, if you hit them in the pocketbook. And if you are not a billionaire and you are just a normal middle class family who wants to send their kid away to school, you should take a look at Sarah's list.
Right.
And be like, you know what? We're not going to send our kid to that school.
Yep.
We're not going to reward that institution with our tuition dollars. But also, we don't want that poison being injected into our children's brains. And with that, we're going to take a break. More of the Snark Factor on Wham Talk Radio right after this. Look, there's a lot to talk about this week, and unfortunately, it's a lot of heavy stuff, and we're going to continue with this somewhat subdued Snark Factor, talking about the border. Because, my goodness, it's a mess. Welcome back to the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Find me on X at Fingers Malloy. Find Sarah on X at Mama Swati. Of course, you could find everything we do on my website, fingersmalloy.com, or if you are a Facebookie, you like the Facebooks, facebook.com/FingersMalloyRadio, and check out Eat, Drink, Smoke, the syndicated radio show I do with Tony Katz. It's cigars, it's bourbon, it's all the good things. Find it on your favorite podcast platform. So we saw the horrific events unfold last weekend in Israel, and there's this day of protest, which is, as you hear this show on Wham Talk Radio, has already happened on Friday. So we have no idea that, you know, it could gone off and it's just nothing but people marching in the streets, or there could be violence. We have no idea what happened. One of the things I wanted to talk about today, Sarah, is I just feel as though the attacks in Israel are a reminder of what can happen here, and how we have gotten complacent since, you know, 9/11 is over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there people need to be aware, if they're kind of, I don't want to belittle people saying some people are sleepwalking through all of this, but
see, I think that would be really generous to say they're sleepwalking. I think that's a very generous way to put that.
But the things that are going on the border, at the border,
I wonder how many decolonizers have crossed our border in the last 3 years. Are we thinking about how many decolonizers?
Yeah, right.
Have come here to decolonize.
We need to have Tony Katz on the show, because he actually did kind of a fact finding mission at the border, and he talked to Border Patrol agents, and Border Patrol, talk about a thankless job. Mm-hmm. You know, you encounter what has to be, it must feel like Groundhog Day. Every day you're seeing hundreds of thousands of people crossing the border, and you don't seem to be getting much support from Washington. Right. And you just try to get through your day. And meanwhile, you've got the cartels and their influence on what's going on at the border. And you hear about Border Patrol agents being threatened by the cartels. And it's just an awful, awful situation. And so the Daily Signal has the story, which actually they are poaching a lot of this from a Fox News report. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. Border Patrol has encountered almost 73,000 special interest aliens on America's borders over the past 2 years, many from the Middle East, according to a Fox News report. A special interest alien, Sarah, is a government term used to refer to an illegal alien from a nation that either promotes terrorist activity, harbors terrorists, poses a security threat to the United States. There's several different criteria. So
that's 73,000 of the people that qualify as that have
passed? Yes, this U.S. Border Patrol has encountered 73,000. How many of them have they not encountered? How many, right, of these 73,000 have actually gotten in the country, right, and are now running around unaccounted for?
Right, because as we all know, just because you've been encountered doesn't mean you've been sent back. At this point, they're just getting court dates for 3 years from now and sent off into the country to wait.
Yeah. You got hundreds of illegal aliens from Yemen, Iraq, Lebanon, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, over almost 31,000 from Turkey, which, listen, if you're talking families, some people may have a soft spot for that, but a lot of these people that are coming over the border are military age
single men
coming, yep, over the border. And, you know, you have to ask yourself how many of these people are coming over to, get a jump start before they bring the family over, start a business.
Sure is the case in some cases. That's the thing, is like, I have no doubt that is totally if not the majority of them, a lot of them. However, but, what's the old thing? If someone gives you a bowl of M&Ms and tells you one of them's poisoned, are you going to eat the M&Ms? Isn't that like a thousand?
Yeah.
Thing?
Yeah. But again, 73,000 were encountered. We don't know how many weren't encountered, how many got over the border.
And I just want to clarify, this 73,000, these aren't people that have been identified for promoting terrorist activities. These are people from nations.
Yes.
Identified, right? So at Two Fingers' point, when you have almost 31,000 people from Turkey, yes, many of them are those could be families. Those could be people coming here to actually live the American dream. Ha, 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 ha. We'll get into that for a second. That's dead. And then, so it's not that these people, the individuals have been identified as potential terrorists. They are from countries that harbor and promote terrorism.
Yes. And without proper vetting.
Right.
That's correct. The problem. I am pro legal immigration.
Yeah, man. Hey, the more all immigrants that come here, the more people that work, the more tax revenue we have, the more, I mean, come work, be an American. We love it.
Yes. Just don't come over the border illegally.
And don't come here to decolonize. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're very happy with our colonized country where we have all the luxuries that people 100 years ago could only dream of at our fingertips.
But yes, but my fear is that there are terrorist cells in this country, and there's been speculation. You haven't really heard any official word, but you hear former intelligence agents saying that there's, likelihood that there are terrorist cells in this country that are just waiting for the word. And, it worries me because you don't know how many people are coming over the border with bad intentions. Mm-hmm. You also have to worry that there are so many soft targets in this country that, the high traffic, the high publicity, the targets, like the Super Bowl, things like that. That's too difficult. But right. I worry about soft, and I'm not going to go over a list of soft targets. Not that they're listening to the Snark Factor for ideas of what to attack. Yeah. But, our listening audience is intelligent enough to use their imagination to figure out soft targets. Basically, you have to be prepared. Unfortunately, if you go to a house of worship, if you're just going out in public, you got to look over the exits. There's got to be a heightened awareness because you just don't know at this point what could happen, because we've gotten complacent, Sarah.
We have. And on top of that, we have so many areas where people gather that are designated gun-free zones.
Yeah, and there's that too.
It is horrifying to think, because you look at whether it was the people who attended the music festival or just the people in the communities surrounding the border. Israel, for being an oppressor state, they actually have their laws are way more left than people think. They've got very, very strict gun control laws. In the day and a half following this attack, the Israeli government lifted restrictions on gun ownership and carrying and your ability to use, and because these people were just sitting ducks. People don't have firearms in their homes the way people have them here. It's not, they were at the mercy of hiding in whatever cover they had, whatever bunker they have in their home. And there were very few people that were able to fight back. And that's the sort of thing. I mean, we are just ripe with soft targets. We're ripe with people that would have no way to defend themselves.
Yeah. So just,
Oh,
this
should be a
wake-up call.
I heard a good one. This whole day of resistance happening, or that I guess that now happened 2 days ago. This was originally reported as a video that went out from a former leader of Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had someone say to me, well, it's not the leader, it's a former leader. Okay.
Who are you talking to?
Okay. Oh, okay. You guys got to understand, I was born and raised in Maryland. Everybody I know from my childhood is a pinko commie leftist. They are 100% in. They are in it. Like,
is it, has there been an awakening at all with any of these people you talk to? At all? Have they witnessed what's happened in the last week between these awful attacks to what they're seeing on college campuses across the country, if they're even seeing it? Because, you know, who watches the news if you're on the left? Because the good guys are in charge.
Right.
So have their values?
No.
Been questioned at all? Has there been no self-examination?
Now, I will possibly. My answer to that is possibly. Because as I mentioned in the first segment, I'm hearing a lot of crickets from the silence is violence, kind of the silence is compliance crowd, right? Where mm-hmm. if you didn't turn your profile picture into the black square on the day that you were supposed to, that meant you didn't think Black Lives Matter, right? You know, those people that are like, for, you know, the total silence from them on this. I don't think that's because they agree that Jews should be killed and that Hamas is right. I think they're going, oh, I like to think that their silence is one of reflection and one of realizing that they've been on the side of the people that want to exterminate an entire culture. I like to think so, but I'm not going to know for a while, I bet.
Jake Tapper came late to the party this week.
I'm so shocked. It's like almost as if there's anti-Semitism on the left.
He said that, ladies and gentlemen. Sure, and
I mean, that's not the best Jake Tapper impersonation.
Oh, it sounded. It was pretty close.
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially, that's exactly what he said. I don't know who he was talking to, but he was like, "I had no idea that there was anti-Semitism on the left." It's like, what rock have you been living under for the past 30 plus years? You know, it's like, what, they're so insulated in their bubble.
Exactly.
They go to their cocktail parties.
You saw the video of Elizabeth Warren. Some other dude from Massachusetts spoke to a crowd about how we need to de-escalate, and the crowd started booing at him, and Elizabeth Warren is standing over his shoulder just shocked and appalled, like, what? Are they booing us? We're calling for de-escalation. That's the right thing to say at a time like this. Nope. Liz. You guys know Liz Warren. You remember her from the Land of Lakes Carden. Right? We know who she is. I mean, people are not, because the thing is, like I say this all the time, people are not stupid. They just don't have the time to invest in how many lies they've been told, right?
Yes.
So, They have lives that they're living and things they're doing. So when the message is, this is what, okay, heard, got it. That's what happened. This is how it was. Anything else is a vast right-wing conspiracy. And I'm just going to go on with my life. They're not stupid. These are perfectly intelligent people. They just never actually, what does Keira Davis always say? Just follow the thought process all the way out to the end. Just take like 1 minute and think. The net, like, logically,
well, of course, yeah, because so much of this is based on emotion,
right,
versus logic. And so, yeah, you have that, just like you have inflation.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, and, man, we are just picking the winners this week.
Right.
You guys, but you see how funny we are when we do this? You guys are enjoying this, right? Like all this awful news, but you're getting some laughs too. So,
oh yeah, it's a regular yuck fest. So Paul Krugman says, Sarah, that the war on inflation is over. Isn't that good news?
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that.
New York Times columnist and Nobel Prize winning economist Paul Krugman declared the war on inflation is over. But he has this chart that he put out there.
Guys, I can't with this.
It's a chart, but without pie. You know, I prefer a pie graph. But I can understand why he's got the line graph instead.
Me, I'm like a Venn diagram kind of gal. I love Venn diagrams.
So this October, he posts this on October 12th.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just as the consumer price index numbers were released. Mm-hmm. Consumer prices rose almost 0.5% in September, more than expected. Sarah, it's we're so surprised. It's more than we expected.
What? And don't worry, guys. Next month they're gonna like adjust it up also, so it's gonna be even more worse than we expected. Give it a couple weeks. So he's got his graph here. You guys, on the vertical axis, I haven't been in math class for a while, so I don't remember which one's X or Y, but the vertical axis is the 6 month change. And across the horizontal axis, you have from January 22nd to September 23rd. And the graph, if you were just to look at it, looks like we're killing it, man. Like it is going down. Like, look at how great we're doing. Except this is the consumer product.
Consumer price index.
Consumer price index, excluding food, energy, shelter, and used cars. So we're just knocking it out of the park, guys. As long as you don't need any food, energy, shelter, or a vehicle, you're
golden.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
This guy
is such a hack, dude. He's such a hack, and he's been a hack for so long. The fact that he's still employed and still revered as someone that you should pay any attention to is like, it's shocking to me. When I see people share Paul Krugman stuff, Krugman?
I believe it's Paul Krugman. To me,
I'm just like, you might as well be sharing something from like the other 98%. You know what I mean? This is just complete like malarkey.
Well, Nobel Prize winning economist, are they giving those out now on like the back of a cereal box?
It seems
Is that what's happening?
It seems like it.
So there's that. And here's something else that caught my eye. I like to think that we are ahead on all the latest lingo, Sarah. We're hip. We're happening.
They call them fingers on the pulse, Malloy.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the pulse of culture and all the other stuff. So, you know, a couple of years ago, people were quiet quitting. That was the thing. All these terms.
Quiet quitting was when you just stopped doing your job.
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially, like
okay. Now there's a new term it's a buzz term for the young folks out there. Bill O'Reilly calls them the folks, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Coffee badging.
What on earth is coffee badging?
This is a brand new thing, according to Business Insider.
What has the new generation come up with in their infinite creativity? What has Gen Z come up with now? Coffee badging. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Hybrid workers are coffee badging to spend less time in the office to dodge return to work mandates. So what they're doing, Sarah, this is gonna blow your mind. Mm-hmm. They're revolutionizing the workplace, the office space, the cubicle. What they are doing, Sarah, is when they swipe their badge to go into the office, they swipe their badge, but they don't actually go in, Sarah. What they do is they go to a local coffee shop and they order coffee, and then they sit in the coffee shop to do their work. So they're swiping their badge and coffee badging, they call it, Sarah.
I'll tell you what, I feel so good about the future. We are at such an innovative place in this country where people are coming up with such brilliant and unique ideas such as this. Coffee badging, and it's got to have like a cute little name too. It can't just be like working from a coffee shop. You mean they're working from the coffee shop?
Yeah, you mean they're blowing off work and they're
going to the coffee shop.
Yeah, remember when people would clock out for lunch and take a 2.5 hour, remember those days? This is brand new, Sarah. Brand
we'll see, because they're doing it first thing in the morning.
Yes, see, that's their twist on this whole thing.
And I think I made an assumption that they're actually working from the coffee shop. I think that they're just sitting at the coffee shop, right? Like they've swiped that as if they're gone in the building, but they're just going to the coffee shop to have their latte, their soy, double oat, caffeine free, made of mushrooms coffee. You know, people drink mushroom juice instead of coffee. Did you know that was a thing?
Are you making stuff up right now?
No, I'm not making this up.
It are you turning the snark factor into your own den of lies?
No, I'm telling you, people, I'm telling you, this is something that it's like powder and it's basically mushrooms with some other stuff in it, I guess. And you mix it with hot water and it's just like coffee. Oh, I'll just like coffee you. I will give you something that's just like coffee. You want me to drink hot mushroom water instead of coffee? One of the few joys that I have left in my life is my morning coffee. And you want me to drink and guess what it's called? Are you ready for this? I can't believe it's been around for like a year. I can't believe we haven't talked about this. It's called Mud. It's the name of the product, Mud. I'm going to have a nice cup of Mud this morning.
Well, because coffee, as you know, has a negative impact on the environment and climate change. Yes. So they want you to eat your insects and drink your mushroom coffee and like it. Mm-hmm. And you'll be happy doing it, as our friend Carol Roth would say.
Drink your hot mushroom juice and be happy.
Oh, God. So no, what kind of creamer do you put in?
I don't know, because every time I see an ad for it, I almost vomit. And it's like, I think the algorithm thinks I'm interested in this, because I'm telling you, every other ad I get is for this Mud stuff. It's this constant onslaught to the point where, let me give you guys something new this week. You want to hear something fun about this particular week that we have just passed?
Please.
I have not had a cup of coffee all week.
Why?
Not one.
What are you doing?
I wake up in the morning and I make myself a lemon juice and I drink that and I don't want coffee. I drink a lemon juice. It's just lemon and distilled water and honey and olive oil in a blender with the skins and everything. And it's like a cup and a half and I chug it down. It's so good. It tastes like lemonade, but it's just blended lemons in water. And I don't even, my husband made a pot of coffee in the middle of the week and I didn't even want any. I didn't have any.
Then do you go to McDonald's and get yourself a fish filet and get a cup of Sanka that's not real coffee?
I have a fruit smoothie with chia seeds in it. I'm telling you, it's been a really weird week for me, guys. I've had like one Coca-Cola.
Sarah, you're starting to sound like a filthy, dirty hippie.
I think that's why Instagram is sending me ads for Mud. It like knows. It's like, oh, have you been doing something other than your morning coffee? Try this. No. That's not the same as lemon juice. Thank you very much.
So can you go to Starbucks and get this product? Like instead of getting a triple high Thai latte.
You literally take supreme. A whole lemon cut in quarters.
No. The mushroom coffee. Mushroom?
I don't know. Probably. But I don't know. That is an excellent question. I'd be happy to do some research on that subject. We can get to it.
I think you are a much better person.
Okay. I'm on top.
To come up with that research than I am, because I took a bullet for the team and I tried the new Coca-Cola Y3000 soda that is AI generated. Yeah.
Oh my God. Have you turned into a robot yet?
No, I have not, but I will give you a little spoiler alert for Eat Drink Smoke this week, because we did a review. It tastes like flying cars and space age polymers.
Oh, yum.
And mushroom coffee. And with that, we have to go. She's Sarah. I'm Fingers. We'll be back next week with an all-new Snark Factor on Wham Talk Radio.